Hello, Internet. Welcome to Film Theory, the show that has milked the worm, drank the juice, and seen the universe. My God, it's full of stars. So, something you're gonna quickly learn about me is that I love science fiction, and there is no other story more important to the genre than Dune. Have you ever seen a sci-fi movie go to a desert planet, or have a complex political conflict that escalates into a galaxy-wide war? That means a certain somebody read Dune. Though the movie doesn't really explain this, Dune is set some 20,000 years in the future, where there are a few noble families that walk a complicated political tightrope for control of the whole galaxy. Think Game of Thrones, but in space. Or I guess Game of Thrones would be Dune without space. The most important world in this universe, however, is Arrakis, a desert planet home to the spice, a drug that expands your mind and lets you see bits and pieces of the future. Without spice in that future site, space travel is impossible, and that's kind of important for your sci-fi space story. Now, Dune has seen its fair share of attempted adaptations over the years. Some bad.
The Guild does not take your order.
And others worse.
He who controls the spice controls the universe.
But finally, we have the perfect adaptation that this series deserves. Just saying, they have to make the third movie now, or we riot. But in the meantime, now that Dune has well and truly broken into the mainstream, I thought we should revisit the series for another theory. Now, don't you worry if you don't know your Caladans from your Kwisatz Haderachs. We're not diving into Dune's complex politics or funny made-up words. Nah, today I wanted to take a look at the planet that made Dune famous. Arrakis, and what you'd need to survive on it. Obviously, this world is hot. A scorching desert where water is more valuable than life, so much so that it's sacred to the local Fremen people. And they take that seriously. On this world, your water, your tears, your blood, your sweat, etc., it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the tribe, and wasting it by crying or vomiting? Not okay. Spitting is seen as a sign of great respect because it's giving your water.
Thank you, Stilgar. For the gift of your body's moisture.
To get as much water as possible, the Fremen have developed a lot of tech to get every last drop that they can. Wind traps capture what little moisture is in the air. Death stills extract water from fallen friend and foe alike. And of course, there are the still suits. You know, those really cool black costumes that we see Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya wearing in all the posters. When worn, these still suits are able to reclaim almost all of the water someone loses in a given day, purifying it and allowing them to drink it all over again. Now, on the surface, recycling and then sipping on the water of your own body sounds kinda gross. And you know what? It is. Thankfully, it's all fiction. Or is it? Today, I want to really dive into the science behind these still suits, how they work in the movie, how they're powered, and exactly how they reclaim all of that water, and see if this piece of science fiction is actually science fact. Long live the fighters, loyal theorists. Let's see if a still suit holds any water. Alright, so the best place for us to start here is exactly why the still suits are so important, and it comes down to why water is so important. Our bodies are somewhere between 55 and 60% water, so a 154-pound or 70-kilogram Timothy Chalamet would have a little over 42 liters or 92 pounds of water in his body at any given time. All of that water is necessary for you to regulate your temperature, lubricate your joints, and get rid of waste, that sort of thing. If you don't drink water, your body doesn't work, and just 3 days without water can be fatal. Now, normally you'd lose somewhere between 2.5 and 3 liters of water per day in average conditions here on Earth. But if you're working hard, or in a hot climate, like, say, I don't know, running from a sandworm on a desert planet where temperatures can reach as high as 138 degrees Fahrenheit, 59 degrees Celsius, you would lose as much as 19 liters per day. That would be almost half of Timothy Chalamet's water. Obviously, that would be bad. In fact, the movie even points out that on Arrakis,
even this early in the morning, you wouldn't survive 2 hours without one of these.
So you can see why these stillsuits are so important for the characters in Dune. But what exactly do they do? Well, stillsuits are able to capture nearly every drop of water that a person would ordinarily lose during day-to-day activities. That water is then filtered in the suit so it can be drunk through a straw in the mask, creating a sort of closed loop of water.
In good working order, your suit won't lose more than a thimbleful of water a day.
Would a civilization 20,000 years in the future know what a thimble is? I barely know what a thimble is. Anyway, by that metric, that means you'd be losing about 5 milliliters of water a day. Again, if you're losing about 19 liters of water, that means the stillsuits are recovering 99.97% of the water lost. That's incredibly efficient, and a pretty good explanation of how you'd survive on this desert planet. But is that figure realistic? Could we feasibly do this in the real world, on our real planet, and not in some crazy sci-fi future? Well, to answer that, we need to look at three things. How we lose water in our day-to-day lives, how to capture that water, and then how to make it safe to drink, if we can do that at all. Let's start with the number one way someone on Arrakis is going to be losing their water. Undoubtedly, their sweat. Sweat is roughly 99% water, with the other 1% being various salts and fats. And a person can sweat between 500 milliliters and 10 liters per day if you're doing hard work in the heat. Yeah, 10 liters! That's 5 of those big sodas you see in the grocery store. But sweating is more than just producing salty water. It's actually critical for us to maintain our body temperatures. The average internal temperature of the human body is around 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit or 37 degrees Celsius. But every time you move, breathe, or even think, your body produces excess heat. Sweat is how your body gets rid of that excess heat, with the water in sweat evaporating and taking the heat with it, thus cooling you down. This is actually why the whole idea of a skin-tight suit isn't exactly something you'd expect to come from a desert-faring civilization. I mean, just look at what people in the real world actually wear if they live in arid parts of the planet, like the Middle East or North Africa. They tend to be large gowns or robes, made from breathable fabric that intentionally fits loosely on the body. This way, sweat can freely build up and evaporate. Your body actually disperses 90% of its heat through sweat alone, which is gonna be kinda difficult if you can't sweat at all. Yeah, you might have noticed that evaporation is kind of critical for this whole system to work. And if you've ever worn a skin-tight piece of clothing before, you know that fabric breathability is a must. Thankfully, though this isn't really explored in the movie, this is something the original author Frank Herbert thought of for the stillsuits. As the character Liat Kynes puts it, the skin contact layer is porous. Perspiration passes through it, having cooled the body, a near normal evaporation process. So to translate, the layer of the suit that touches your skin is covered in little holes that let sweat pass through. This is actually how most athletic wear works in the real world. Moving on, the number two way your body loses its water is through your breath. Yeah, that might come as a bit of a surprise, but have you ever wondered why you can see your breath when it's cold outside? Why glass fogs up when you breathe on it? Or why you sometimes wake up with a super dry mouth? It's because you exhale water every single time you breathe. However, unlike sweat, our breath only contains about 0.05% water, which adds up to you breathing out about a cup of water every single day. Not as much as a bunch of 2 liters, but still super valuable to the Fremen. This is actually why all the Fremen wear those face masks and nose tubes. Well, unless you're a named character, then you gotta prune up in the desert because you are a recognizable actor. My apologies to Zendaya's skincare routine.
Wear your sunscreen.
And as for number three, it's going number one. Yep, it's pee. Listen, we all knew this one was coming. For a person in an average environment who isn't sweating up a storm, urine is actually the biggest source of water loss in any given day, with somewhere between 800 and 2,000 milliliters of pure pee. That's enough to fill up a 2 liter of Mountain Dew without anyone noticing. Urine is 95% water, with the rest being urea, salts, and ammonia. So you can imagine why the Fremen would be pissed to lose any of that liquid gold. Now, before you see that 95% water figure and decide to go all Bear Grylls on your toilet bowl, despite popular opinion, pee is not sterile. You should not be drinking this stuff. This is my third episode, and I'm already giving a PSA on not to drink your own pee. What are we doing here, guys? Urine contains bacteria that can make you sick, and all that salt wouldn't just make it taste awful. Ironically, it would dehydrate you in the same way ocean water would, so not something you'd be in the mood for.
What's mood to do with it?
So our stillsuits are gonna need a way to purify all this sweaty pee breath, as gross as that sounds, but this is totally within the realm of possibility. In fact, we don't even have to look at some future sci-fi tech. This is something that real-world space agencies like NASA are using right now. Keeping the scientists on the International Space Station, or ISS, alive is no easy feat, and getting supplies to space is very expensive. It costs roughly $2,500 to send a single pound into space. And considering that each astronaut drinks about 1 gallon of water, 8.3 pounds, every single day, that means it would cost NASA about $20,850 per astronaut per day, just to keep them hydrated. As a result, NASA had to get really clever about recycling water, and developed a system that would make the Fremen proud. For sweat and breath, the ISS is equipped with a super advanced dehumidifier that collects all of that sweet, sweaty breath. And as for the pee, the astronauts have a special toilet that sucks away all of their urine into a rapidly spinning drum, whose high speed allows for the distillation of the water from the rest of the urine. Then, all the reclaimed water is filtered and funneled back into the astronauts' tap. Is this why kids don't want to be astronauts anymore?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Regardless, according to NASA, this stuff is actually cleaner than the water that comes out of your own faucet. And the newest version of this system is able to recycle 98% of an astronaut's sweat, breath, and urine, which is shockingly close to that 99.97% we calculated for the stillsuits. And you know, I think in the 20,000-year difference between modern day and the time of Dune, we'll be able to up the efficiency by that couple percentage points and get this tech small enough to fit into a stillsuit. But urine, sweat, and breath isn't the only way you lose water. There's a fourth major draw of water from your body, and it's a big old stinky number two. It's your poop. Now, at first, the idea of there being all that much water in your normal poop might seem strange, but it's actually 75% water. The rest is made up of salts, undigested foods, and bacteria. You know, all the stuff that makes the bathroom especially fragrant. That's an issue because, just like urine, all that bacteria can make you really sick. And they can also give you diarrhea, which can dehydrate you quickly, thus leading to a swift death in the heat of Arrakis. Unfortunately, this sort of sickness isn't just a problem you'd face in science fiction. Fecal contamination of water supplies is a serious problem in the real world. Because of this, plenty of scientists have put a lot of work into treating this water to make it drinkable in as efficient a way and in as small a space as possible. For example, meet the Janicki Omni Processor, a system funded by Bill Gates that turns raw sewage into fresh, clean drinking water using substantially smaller machines than normal waste treatment plants. The idea is to boil the raw sewage, removing the water from the rest of it. Then bam! The water condensates in a clean environment, and in as little as 5 minutes, it turns your poop into something slightly better than Dasani. So we can reclaim almost all of the water we lose in our stinkiest armpits and from the depths of our toilets, but doing so is gonna require a lot of power. So where are the stillsuits getting this energy? I mean, they're not powered by Duracell after all. Well, the answer in both the movie and in real life is your own body.
Your body's movements provide the power.
Yep, this isn't water power, air power, or even desert power. It's good old human power. And this isn't some crazy future sci-fi tech. Using the human body to generate electricity is something we're taking baby steps in right now. Case in point, scientists at MIT were able to generate 1 watt via heel pumps, enough to power the flashlight on your phone. Not bad for just walking around, and they're not alone. Researchers in Germany have been working on similar wearable tech, while Japanese scientists want to develop sidewalks that generate power by people walking on them.
I recognize your footsteps, old man.
By the time of Dune, this sort of energy conversion from movement would be much easier, and could take advantage of more than just walking. As the book explains, motions of the body, especially breathing, provide the power for the suit. So even breathing would be giving us what we need here. All in all, stillsuits are looking pretty possible. We're already filtering our bodily fluids back into drinking water, and the technology to power it with our bodies is in the early stages. This science fiction is starting to sound a lot like science reality. But we are forgetting one crucial part: keeping cool. Remember when we talked about how sweat actually keeps you cool? It evaporates, taking the heat with it and cooling your body off. Well, the opposite happens when water condensates. Like, say if you want to get drinkable water from evaporated sweat or boiled poop. Yeah, after running the numbers, condensating the water from the sweat and poop of Paul Atreides would release over 43 million joules of heat energy, enough to raise the temperature of the water in his body by over 10 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Fahrenheit every hour. If that sounds like a lot, it is. But remember, it's also over his whole body and over a prolonged period. Don't get me wrong, that's still really bad on a desert planet, where staying cool is the key to survival. And even without all of that, remember that we said that the human body produces a lot of heat. In fact, even if you just sit down and do nothing, your body is still producing 100 watts of power. That's enough to turn on a light bulb. And all that means is that running around the desert fighting Harkonnens is gonna make a lot more heat than that. Now, the books hand-wave this with some vague technobabble, but it doesn't really get that specific. But since we're really diving into this, I want some real answers on how the body is getting cooled. My first thought was to just vent the heat, but that's not gonna work. For one, venting the heat could run the risk of letting some water evaporate with it, and we don't want that. And the other problem is going to be the direction that heat flows. Generally, heat goes from hot things to cold things, not the other way around. When you pick up an ice cube, even though it feels like the coldness is going into your hand, the heat from your hand is actually going into the ice cube. Therefore, if we want heat to flow out of the suit, the air inside is gonna have to be hotter than the exterior temperature, but remember, Arrakis is about 138 degrees Fahrenheit or 59 degrees Celsius, much hotter than the human body at 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, 37 degrees Celsius. So all a ventilation system is gonna do is let hot air in. We are gonna need something else. But we can find the answer in a surprising place. Let me ask you, what is the only place on Earth that is even more inhospitable than the deserts of Arrakis? Comic-Con! No, I'm not joking, stay with me here. If you've ever worn a full-body costume, you'll understand just how hot it can get in there. And someone who knows this struggle all too well is former Mythbuster and true science hero Adam Savage. Yeah, if you didn't know, on top of being an excellent educator, Adam is also an accomplished cosplayer who has gone incognito at major conventions. And he knows exactly how hot it can get in these full-body costumes.
That is the hottest I have ever been in my whole life. Let's go up to the room, I could use a glass of water.
So, to counteract this, Adam and his team devised a system that would keep him at a safe temperature while wandering the con floor. And the way they did it? Refrigerated cooling suit. That is exactly what we need to finally make a still suit a reality. A typical kitchen fridge works by pumping a fluid under high pressure and then expanding it, therefore cooling it down since fewer of the fluid's molecules are able to bounce into each other. This cooled fluid is pumped into your fridge, where it absorbs the latent heat from your food, which therefore reheats the fluid and starts the whole process all over. Using this process, you can make pretty much anything, including a person, any temperature you'd like. This entire system is known as a heat exchanger, which, wouldn't you know it, lines up with what little we do know about how stillsuits cool the body. The techno babble from the books say that the stillsuits have a heat exchange system, exactly like a fridge. And this tech doesn't need to be as big as a kitchen refrigerator. In fact, the US military invested into making this technology smaller, all to keep their soldiers cool in the desert. Huh, doesn't that sound familiar? So, despite sounding far out and entirely impossible, the stillsuits are actually a lot more science fact than fiction. We can reclaim almost all of the water we lose through sweat, breath, urine, and feces. We can power it through movement. And we can create a skin-tight suit that'll keep you cool in the desert. All in all, mark this one up as a win for Dune. Truly, it is as written.
Listen, okay?
But hey, that's just a theory. A film theory. And cut.